and Mr. Lillard, both of Etland, right? You used to live at Nether's Mill, didn't you, Mr. Lillard? Yeah. And you, did you live in Nether's Mill
also? I lived about 6 years at Nether's.
What time, what years were those?
27 to 32.
Oh, those were the important years, right.
27 to 32. Right.
You had a store there, didn't you?
No, I had a store right there,
You had a store in Etland?
I left about in 32 and come over here and bought a store out here at Etland.
What did you do at Nether's Mill?
I drove a school bus after I was married.
Oh.
I stayed up out with the wife's people for 6 years. The wife working in the store up there, my father was there. I stayed up out for 6 years and drove a school bus to the Sperry. That's for this road to build, finish the building.
Yeah.
And gravel and anything, man, it was something, man.
Mr. Lillard, you were saying something about the Corbins, where they came from.
I heard that they came down from Tidewater.
From Tidewater. I wonder what, have you any idea what brought them here?
I have no idea on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't believe that I haven't heard anybody say that they claim that some of those people down there was wealthy people. And they got straying off or something, and some of them got back in. And just kept coming back out regularly. A little bit of time, but they could move back in there. Called me not.
Have any of you heard Mr. Edward Nicholson Sr. told me at one time that his family came from England in 1715. Would that sort of bear out anything that you have heard?
No, I don't know anything about Edward Nicholson, you said?
Edward Nicholson Sr.
That was the brother of Buddy.
Are you Buddy?
This is one of the young
ones. Yeah, I never did know one.
That's only Edward I know of.
Yeah.
He lives in Front Royal now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brickmaker.
Yes, right. Do you know how these people learned the trade of stone work?
Well, that's all they had to walk over all their life. And I reckon they either had to work them up or pile them up or do something to get rid of them.
Yeah. They built such beautiful stone fences, didn't they?
Yeah. Houses and like that. Now, you take old man Charlie Sis. He was powerful good for the stonemason, too.
Yeah.
He lived up there.
Yeah.
I had a brother. Could do it. I had a brother, too, Wilwood.
Yeah, Wilwood, that's right. But he didn't do the part.
No. He never did the part.
The families that you were familiar with, were they mainly the Corbins and the Nicholsons, or were they?
Well, the Corbins and Nichols and Wickes. Let's see. One got killed. Another Smith. Smith, I think. Ben Smith, Maiden Smith. I knew them.
He was a Jenkins.
Elliot Jenkins, I reckon, the way you. We always called him Elliot Buzz.
He used to bootleg Lou, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, there was nothing wrong with bootlegging.
Not a thing.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, rather than carrying barrels of apples, to carry a few bottles.
Did you know at one time this? There's three hollows up there from the fork to the road to go. One is Nicholson Hollow, and then the next one you get to is right hand, that's Corbin Hollow, and the Wheatley Hollow goes on across by the rag and down there over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's three hollows. But the people in the Wheatley Hollow, most of them was intelligent people, having no education, but had good common sense. In the Corbin Hollow, they were just as dumb as a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholson Hollow was kind of split. There's some very intelligent people in there. Never went to school day in the life, but they had a lot of wit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all right now. They had finished that. Mm-hmm. But then they called it Hollow. They didn't even know how to keep something to eat. And when the deepest snows I ever seen fall back years ago, that's the day they'd come out to find something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody give them something.
And they didn't, if they had any money to buy anything with, they didn't buy their best of food, either something rough. Soup, beans, cornmeal, something like that. They didn't buy all
that bag.
Fine stuff like to eat now.
Yeah.
It is fat back soup, beans, and
right.
Cornmeal or something like that is what they bought. They did have any money.
And the ones in the Calvin Hall positively would not work. Only just bad enough to do. Now in the Nicholson Hall people, they raised their own food.
Yeah.
And the Wheatley Hollow, I was old
man Will Corbin. I reckon he worked right.
Well, see, though, he's in Nichols Hollow back on the top.
Yeah, right? Back
he wasn't
top.
I mean, this fiddler name was much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, how was it that so many Corbins lived in Nicholson Hollow? Do you know?
How was it that?
Yeah.
Well, they just got into Hollow, I reckon, a lot like all the other. They married some woman, Corbin or Nichols or something.
From what I have heard of the people in Nicholson Hollow, they all planted good gardens and dug trenches to keep the vegetables over the winter. Is this true?
I think it's about right.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough stuff.
It was hard work.
Beans and cabbage and stuff like that. They didn't
turnips.
Have a whole lot of knickknacks.
No.
Like you have now.
No.
What they had was mostly rough food.
Yeah.
What I mean is good food.
Sure.
When they
beans and
doing
pepper.
All that, they wasn't who ever heard tell of a bean beetle or anything bother nothing up in there.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything. Yeah. And if they planted the hill or something, they got something.
Yeah.
Yes, there weren't the insects, were there?
Not sure.
And of course, how did they keep rabbits out of the gardens?
But in that Holland, there really was too many.
I imagine they kept a dog, or they caught one around the garden, they shot him and eat him.
Yeah.
Now, feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. With the Corbins, then, that lived in Nicholson Hollow, the ones that I've interviewed were pretty enterprising people.
The only ones that was in Corbin Hollow, the ones that never did.
How did they survive?
In the school I was double at almost.
How did they survive, do you suppose?
Well,
if they never were.
They were big a lot, and they had a trade. They made baskets.
Mm-hmm.
They'd carry them skyland. Season was open up and selling.
And people yep, up there used to make powerful good baskets. So, some of them would make
basket
sorry baskets.
Yeah.
But some of them would make some real nice baskets, good ones.
Yeah.
I used to buy them off of them when I started. See, I started up store down here in 32.
Mm-hmm.
I run that 33 and a half years. I just got out of it in 65. And I used to buy a lot of baskets off of them.
Yeah.
Do I, John?
Tell me, you finally going to tell your age, yeah.
Well, I don't mind that. Oh, that don't make it no young or no old.
When you were mentioning that they would come into the store and buy things just like beans and stuff of that kind, did they pay cash for that, or were they given credit? Or
well,
did,
some of them you credit, and some of them you couldn't. Some of them if you credit, you have trouble ever getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But now some of them, I made credit for a while. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now long after I come over here, you see the WPA come around, you see, and ones that would work would work on that some, you know, maybe I'd give them credit for the end of the week or something like that on phones and stuff. Now, it used to be one family in particular that I can think of right now. They used to live up here for you. At the foot of the rag, we went up and hit 17 up there, where Mr. Thomas built all the new houses. I don't know if you've ever been up there now. There's one fellow lived there, it's long in the 30s. I think it's around 35 or 36. And I think that family, his man, his wife, and I think it was four children. I'm not sure. Four or five. You remember Lovey Seal?
Lovey Seal?
Yeah. That is who it was.
Lovey Seal?
Lovey Seal. And I sold him. Now, these Lake Herons and Cumming Brine. And is in 100, I think it's 100 and 130 pound kegs that come in there. And it's either three of them I sold him one winter, and 200 pounds of soup beans, or it is 300 pounds of soup beans and two of the fish. But I just forgot which it was, but I know it is three of one and two of the other that I sold that family that winter.
That must have been a large family.
No, I think it's just six or seven of them in the bunch.
Oh.
But I reckon it must have been fish or beans ever meal, I reckon.
You remember that Joe?
Yeah. They used to really eat.
Yeah.
And you take most people around here, when I first went into business, well, I say a good many of them, not the most of them either. If they didn't buy 100 pounds of soup beans, that's just dried pork beans. For winter, they wouldn't think they were starting into anything at all. Some of them buy as much as 150 pounds right off, start with them.
Dude. And you know, they never did. When they call it cornbread, you know, they call it corn pone.
Yeah. The people in Corbin Hollow, they didn't even raise vegetables?
Well, now, I wasn't up in there. I was up in there some, too. You know, before they left out of there. I used to go up in there with my father long through early fall, late fall, maybe. Kept a few cattle, you know. He'd go up in there and buy some calves off of them. I was just small, you know. I wasn't over 11, 12 years old, something like that. I used to drive them out, you know, put a rope on and drive them out. You know, and they used to bring me out of there in a hurry sometimes, too.
Have you any idea how much they got for a calf?
Oh, I just don't remember that off, but I was sort of small and young then, but I don't think it was over $7, $8, $10, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And maybe not that long earlier. I've heard my father say he used to buy $4, $5, $6 long in that.
Yeah.
But I think along about then, I think they was paying somewhere around $7, $8, maybe as much as $10. Just depends on the size of the calf.
Mm-hmm. With those beans that you said that the fellow bought the barrels of, do you recall how much that was per barrel?
No, sir, I couldn't tell you, but in a little while I could tell you. I go down and look on my field. I've got most of all my fields down in the basement.
Uh-huh.
When I started in the stove business, I go down there and look. I could just about tell you.
Okay.
But I didn't put such profit on stuff then to do on
now.
No. If I made 40, 50 cents on a bag of beans, well, I thought I'd done pretty good. They wasn't then over about, I imagine, around 375, something like that, 100.
Now, you see, what you have been telling me, both of you, is entirely different from what I've been hearing. I always heard that they dried their own beans. And
well, they did dry a lot of them.
Those
they
did. Paid enough attention to living did, but some of them didn't even know, didn't care enough for them. If they'd have had that healing beans, they'd eat them as long as they last, and that was all of
it. Yeah, they didn't know how to save anything, take care of anything left.
You talk about that calf business, I've heard old man called the river calling live at your home place. And I've always heard he'd come up the road and say, well, say I'm going up in the holler to buy me a half a calf for $1.50.
Mm. Well, that is way back young.
Yeah.
I was only about, I think, between 4 and 5 years old when he died. I can remember the old man. And we was living down at the low place. And I know Mr. John Brown lived
here. That old when he died, 4 or 5 years?
Something like that, yeah. Because we moved up by, see, we bought that place, and I don't think I was about 5, and I think I was just, I don't think it's long after he died before we bought that place and moved up.
Did most of the people in Corbin Hollow own their own land? Do you know if they paid taxes on them?
No, the bunch you're talking about, I imagine, in the Corbin Hollow, they didn't own any land. That's a big survey.
The families, were they large families that they had?
Well, I don't think, well, as I can remember, it was two large families, wasn't it, John?
Have they?
The size of the family, it wasn't too large a family, many of them were.
Biggest family was ever up there was old man,
Corbin?
Old man Will Corbin, yeah.
He had a big family.
21, probably, yeah.
21, all with one wife?
I couldn't answer that. I know he had a big family.
He's the one who got killed at Nevers Mill. Man come down the road riding horseback, John Nicholson.
He was a moonshiner,
and he claimed that this man, Will Corbin, reported him that he and old man T. Winkler were sitting in the garden on some fodder, but old man had to chuck and gone, man, you know, the garden was gone. And he called him, rode up to the fence and called him and said, "Come in, Mr. John." Hadn't spoke for 20 years, and when he walked up to lay his hand on the wire fence, that's a new wire fence then. Shut him off, Paul said, "I shut him dead." You remember them bullets, bullets hit those rocks on that stone wall above the
hotel? I don't know as I ever noticed.
Right where I went.
But I was living up by the time.
What did the sheriff do about it? What did the sheriff do about that shooting?
Well, he went to penitentiary.
He did?
So long, I forget how long it was.
He got 35 years. But I don't think he pulled any more than about, he pulled 20 years, I believe. You know, the first time I seen him come back, he was back down working that road on the haze, and he'd come up a terrible stone and went in that church. And when it began to lighten up a little bit, I'd never seen him since he come back. He was right here in the wood. I looked, said somebody over in the corner, and I walked over, it's John. He had never said a word yet. He was in the stones, but he done pulled his time to come back from it.
Were they clean shaven, the men? Were the men clean shaven?
No, some of them wasn't. Some of them were the wide, red, long, whiskers way down like
I'll
that.
See them down, down to here.
The old man Gus Nichols and Aaron.
Oh, you knew Aaron Nichols?
Yeah, well, I was just a small kid, though. I can remember the old fella, you know, red long whiskers down here.
Was he as big a man as they say?
Well as I can remember, it's been a long time, but well as I can remember, he wasn't too overly large a man, was he, Johnny?
I don't think so. You know why he was buried?
No, I don't.
He married a young woman over Wolftown, died over there.
Yeah.
Albert Nichols showed me says grandpap was buried right here.
Yeah.
Gray, yeah. Gray, the rocks yet to his grave.
Right back over here about a mile, there used to be a doctor. Dr. Sims practices over there. And one of them come over one morning real early, see him, you know, said he wasn't feeling too good. Doc said it wasn't long before breakfast ready. Said he told him, "Come on in, eat." While he was out and said he'd come on in, you know, and said, he said he'd eat an awful meal, you know, and said he didn't have much appetite, he said he'd eat an awful meal, and said, Fred, and he sat down and talked a while, and he told his doctor, said, "Well, doctor, said, if you give me a little medicine, I believe I'll knock on back the voyage home." Said, the doctor looked at him, laughed, you know, says, "I don't believe you need any medicine, such a meal as you eat," he said. "Well," says, "I don't need any for your
fool, but I need some for mine, like I have. I've heard them tell that. I knew those about
them. That old Aaron.
Yeah, one of his Aaron or Gus. I was
that, that's Gus. You're right, old Aaron's son.
Yeah, one of the other ones.
Was Gus Aaron's son?
Russ, too.
Gus and Russ.
Well, now, maybe I'm wrong. It's two that I knew was two long about the same age.
Well, that is, that was, old Gus wore a tremendous long beard,
yeah.
You know, and rode that Jenny mule.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That little old mule.
And, Russ had a beard, great beard, too.
Yeah, but, well, them was the two that I knew.
Yeah. But the old Aaron we're talking about was a father?
Well, I didn't know him.
Oh, didn't he?
No, I didn't know him.
Yeah,
I was thinking he would have died before.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Him. The other two.
The two, the one we knew, it was his son.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Was there much intermarriage in the, among the Nicholsons?
Well, I don't know. I was young.
And then,
was there much intermarriage?
Well, they married very close to some of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did visit, though, back and forth between Hollows, didn't they?
Well, I don't know whether there's too much visiting going on now or not.
I doubt it.
Then the Coffins visited nobody, and nobody visited the Coffins without it was somebody to pick up something, you know, or put it back.
The Corbins made moonshine, didn't they?
They never had, some did, but not the close kin to the ones we're talking about. They didn't have knowledge, you know.
Oh.
There wasn't many of them up in there, but wasn't even two at one time.
Yes.
You take the Wheatlers and the Corbins in Nichols Hollow, and the Nicholsons, the Dawsons, some Dawsons up there too.
Mm-hmm.
They was the old timey moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember when I was small, almost glory, remember nobody was here too on me, remember when nobody and I do. I know long ago of all one. Well, they used to just haul liquor out of that mountains up in that river.
Columns?
Yes, indeed.
They had cars?
Yeah, they had some cars. Wasn't too many around.
Well, one thing that took a lot of the liquor out of the Hollow people from the city would come. Places like the towns, like Winchester, Front Royal, and even from Washington City, all the liquor out of those islands.
Oh.
There used to be a red cat. You ever see that red Cadillac up there? Right. They had it built especially for the business.
Right in my head.
They put a 50-gallon barrel on the back of that.
Right. Oh, boy. Did they make it mainly out of apples or rye?
Anything.
They could get to make alcohol. But most of the business was sugar after they got the people years and years ago. I mean, they didn't even use sugar. But after along and about the teens, long up in the teens, they got to make a sugar liquor. You know? I believe that bunch over here in Georgetown started that before anybody else. And they make apple brandy and grain whiskey, you know.
Mm-hmm. They all had apple orchards, didn't they?
Well, they had small, but they didn't. I don't think they used too many apples. Most of them would be rye and corn ground up.
Do you know how they got their apple orchards? Did they know how to graft?
No, probably even got picked up a few trees somewhere. Maybe just they didn't.
Well, the seedlings, they call them. Yeah. You know, you could go around the apple trees years ago and find a little. Switches come up around the apple tree.
Yeah,
you never see one tomorrow.
That's with the Milams, right?
Milams and Sunday sweetenings are gone, and the white apple, addits, and all that kind of stuff.
Most of it they made that
white apple, yorks.
With sugar and rye meal.
Okay. Most of it was sugar.
I know my father used to haul the stores up there. I was just small. I was just having a wife every day. I used to go club up with him. 2 days to make the trip, 4 horse team, go down, bring in a full load, all loaded up by the Nethers and Jenkins, just stow up by together, go right back the next day and do the same thing lots of times.
What, was this sugar that you would be hauling?
Sugar and rye meal. A lot of, you know, of course a lot of grocers along with it too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring in a race amount supply of that, right back next to
you. You know, that's why
that is when the roads are bad. There's few trucks and like around them.
That's why Monroe Jiggins and Weston made all their money they had one time, got away from, you know, right quick though. They'd go to they'd have alpha butter kids barns, 40 gallons, you know, rather than they'd take a wooden barrel or 50 gallon barrel and cut it in two and make a cap for it, you know, and they made living that. They'd sell them kittles to them fellas up by for $1 a gallon, $40 for that, and then they'd give them about $2.50 for a gallon of liquor. They'd sell it for 20.
Yeah,
that's right. They got rich right quick.
I've always heard that.
That's right.
Always heard that. And you take lots of times, you'd go down now, then towards the last, they got a pretty good road built up for his Boston. And the trucks would haul it up by and put it in a wire house down there, and the wagon would go down there and get it. Yeah. When the roads so bad up here, they couldn't make it, you know. And they'd bring all the sugar and rye meal stuff up there.
Mm-hmm.
And unload them. A lot of them would be standing right there. Some of them they were the front wheels of the front part of a wagon, put it on. Some of them would just slide, put it on that, and drag it on up in the mountains.
Yeah. You take that store up by Rob, those people, it was off. See, they didn't know, some of them didn't even know what a quarter was. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard out in Frank, them they'd sit around about a lot, you know, and watch Wesley Jenkins when he was weighing on the scales.
With his hands.
So if he'd go in and go in, they wanted a pound of meat, you know. If he got a half a pound, said he could hold his hand and all nine and make it weigh, and they watching the scales, you know, and make it run right on that pound.
Yeah, I've heard that many times.
Those poor people.
Brother Frank, you say, Frank says what I say, he's weighed that old rusty fist 10,000 times
over. You take my first wife's brother, I mean daddy, run and stole out that old mill and there was standing down there, but he wasn't that kind.
Well, that store was very, very useful, not only as a store, but there was a telephone there, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, both of them, I think, had telephones.
And they'd come down and use that to call Dr. Ross.
Yes.
Did any of you ever see Dr. Ross?
Oh, Lord, I reckon so.
What did he look like? There isn't a mountain person I've talked to that hasn't mentioned calling him. He must have traveled.
Do you know, did you ever see his son, Hugh Ross, the lawyer out to Madison?
No.
Look at him, that doctor.
Yeah. Really?
I used to live up here while Fincham lived, right at the Fox Road. There was on that high hill, but it don't look like it did when I had it. I sold him in the fall of 64. But I had that nice shape, clean and everything. And I never did step in the main part of the house when I was young, you know. I had two rooms down there over Peter's side.
Yeah.
And I used to stay there, you know. I'd come in any time of night I wanted, you know. And had some old bulldogs there. They'd come out like he's going to eat me up. But all I had to do was just whistle something. That was all of that. And I've laid right down many nights through the winter and hear him coming around that road in mud just as if you couldn't get around it with a car with his old black horse. Sometimes at midnight, sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, travel all night. And he started out long during the war when that flu was around so bad and killed so many of them. Well, he'd make it round.
You know what he told me, sitting over in the office one, and his before he, it long towards the last, you know, he didn't talk too much, because getting kind of a bit weak like that. He told me that when the first flu in 1918, that anybody knew anything about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he had a little old two-wheel cart, you know.
Yeah.
And he said he left from over to Kirkusville and threw his saddle in the back of that, you know. Oh, in there with him, and rode for as he could up Dark Hollow. And then he took the horse out, pulled the gale, looked in it,
in the cot, put his saddle on, and went back to Big Meadows and taken the ridge and come down each hollow. And when he came out, he came out over here down off the Hazel, out off the Hazel Run, and through Bob Mellon's, all the way around down to the desert, you know, back through this little country down in here and back to Crickersville. Mm-hmm. He was gone 2 days and 2 nights. And he told me he got back home, the only pay he had was $16.
He was the most dedicated man I think I've ever heard of.
Yeah, when you called him,
he went.
He was coming. That's something that would happen.
You know, he used to come from old Crickersville, horseback, over the old home plane, down the corner.
What diseases did they have? Do you know any particular diseases that they had, like?
Well, they had diseases that everybody has today.
Uh-huh.
The flu killed a lot of people.
What was going on
about
the time we were speaking of, they had so much as flu.
Yeah, but how about rickets? Was there much rickets that you know of? Rickets, you know, where the bones aren't quite properly formed because of lack of milk and calcium. A lot of hog and chicken, and did they fish?
Not much.
Not much?
I can remember my father used to own a place over there where it was sold in 64. Now and then you see somebody come down there fishing, but nothing like it is now. Mm-hmm.
They killed rabbits and squirrels to augment their diet. But did they eat beef?
No, they didn't know what beef was. I doubt some of them old people up in there ever eat a piece of beef in their life. Long then time.
Yeah.
So they didn't eat no stock much, you know. They were one or two cows or like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what they had would do good up in that good cold water, you know, and bushes and like. But I know my father bought one of a cow up in there one time, and the old man telling him, you know, I never will forget what he told him. I was just a little kid, but I remember that just as good as this day. Well, said this, an old man, Jim Bolt Nichols, who it was. Well, says the Teddy, says, this cow gives it rich milk, says. Cream, says, stands on the jaw so thick, says, a cat can walk across on it, won't make a track. I remember that just as good as it is today when he told my father that. Yeah, they used to have what cows like they had. They done mighty good up in there. They didn't have no much grass, but they had plenty of bushes and plenty good cold water.
I was wondering about that because there wasn't any real pasture land, was there?
I've been up in there and drove many a calf out of them mountains back in all up Nichols Hollow. I've been clawing back around on behind the rag from here. One day I went up there to old Mr. Henry Smith, lived back over in Kidder, Wheatley Hollow. And he bought one from him to come on over in Wheatley Hollow then. And he bought another one from, I don't remember if it was Ben Smith or Major now. And this one, he bought from old man Smith, but just as wild as in a deer. Man, when I started that with him, he didn't take me a hog hunting, there's no use to talk. Man, he jerked me, I was just small, you know. Man, he jerked me about scallops. So I thought when I got old man Smith, I thought I had him about broke down. And this one old man Smith was gentle, you know. I just tied him to this wire, you know, and kept my main rope on this wire. Well, I made it on down, went on down pretty good, you know, for about, I imagine, 3/4 mile down, coming back down the week to Hollow, you know. First thing you know, this gentleman jumped up on the bank, you know, and run around behind a bush, and I didn't have a halter quite tight enough on this wire, and he jerked the halter off right. Well, I knew darn well if ever he got out of my reach, it would never get no to him no while as well. I just dropped the rope and let the elm drag. I just fastened him with the tail. Like, remember, I had on a pair of gum boots. Jumping right down that mountain he went. Half the time he had me down dragging him. But I kept holding on to him till I got him sort of, I pulled back on him just as hard as I could. If I thought if I get him slowed down, get him turned back up the mountain, I could hold him, you know. But finally I got him sort of broke down and got him turned back up the mountain. And I still had him by the tail, no rope or nothing on him. Didn't even have a rope then put on the other calf. Going back up to his mother, you know, back up to Gentleman Smith. So I kept leading, you know, back up the road with us, and, you know, finally I met old man Smith, my father. He was standing up by talking to him, you know. I met them. They done caught this gentleman, bring him on back to meet me. Mm-hmm. I still had down with the tail yet. Holding on to it's my size calf, too, I reckon, 200. But I take him both in. My father told him to catch something. He meant to catch him and hold him. He didn't mean to grab him and turn him loose.
No. Did they let their pigs run wild in the mountains?
Some of them did.
And how would they gather them up?
Well, I reckon they had pens that trained them.
What is that you use?
Hogs.
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 Yeah.
Well, I tell you, both them, they didn't bother much about gathering up till they got rid of the butcher and something like that.
Yeah, so then how would they gather them?
Oh, they probably feed them a little something now and then, you know, just coax them around in the pen or something. They got rid of the butcher and something like that. Well, I can remember, way back down in the teens, my father bought a place right back up there about 2 miles against the park line. Yeah, and it used to be some up this hollow here, Ross Hollow, we called it. Had a whole lot of hogs, and they run out in the mountains. And there's nothing but a barbed wire fence around this place then, and that wasn't very good. Well, them old hogs, them old big sows come over by, you know, and man, just tying up the grass. Father sent them word, they have to take care of them. They ain't no time to touch at all. So we had a couple of them bulldogs. Every time we'd go by, we'd take the ringers along, and them bulldogs. They got so they just run them darn hogs just same as running a fox. And when they'd overhaul these old big sows, they'd fight them, you know. And they'd just stand on the bark at them until you got up and close to them. When you got up close to them, tell them to take him. Man, they'd take him right for the jaw, right for the ear. And you go on ringing, he's going to have him. He'd hold him right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of time, you know, we'd make them let loose and catch a hog going, go on ringing to it. I don't know how many we did ring that way. Just, yeah, when we catch any of them up by, you know, rooting by them, catch them and ring them.
That was good. Yeah. How about, did you ever go to any of their apple butter boilings?
No.
Never. Did you?
Oh, once in a while.
What were they like?
Sometimes there'd be a few people around, you know, stirring.
Did they play any music while they were doing it?
No, not very much, I don't think.
No?
Yeah, I never was around up even at night or nothing like that at all. When I went up, I would have fun daytime, you know, in the farm when I was small then. Boy, after I got on up my way, just going to the park, taking nobody, used to go find all posts, stakes, stuff out of the way, for the team up in there. All used to go up in 9-5 posts and stakes. One place up in there, what they call the seal place, that's on up in there in the left-hand holler above Foxy Road. He used to get out a lot of them on shares up there. And I used to go find all of them.
Well, they have told me that they used to make a real party out of doing the apple butter boiling. That they would have food and they would have drinks and they would dance and, of course, keep stirring the apple butter. And it was a real festive occasion.
Well,
I'm wondering if this is just by thinking backwards that they, you know, everything is always more fun many years ago.
I never did too much running around when I was small. I never was looking at it.
Did you hear any of their music at any time?
Sometimes, yeah.
What would they play?
Banjo, guitar, bomb.
Do you know any of the tunes?
Well, they're just old timey dancing tunes.
Turkey in the Straw. Turkey in the Straw. Golden Slippers.
I reckon most of them just always making a fuss. They thought they'd have them powerful music in there.
Yeah. How about church? Did they go to church much?
Some went and
Where was the church?
Well, there was two up this Weekly Hollow.
Two on, in Weekly Hollow?
So that around the Ray. And there was one in Nicholson Hollow.
Now, were those churches used as a school also?
Yes.
Nicholson Hollow, I think, did. I don't know if they did the other one, not because I'm
not. No, the other.
Remember Willard Laney, you know, taught up, was it Willard?
Yeah.
Yes, Willard.
Up at Nickers House.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some of them asked one of the old women up by how she's getting along. Well, said she could do pretty good, said she could write pretty good, but said she just couldn't read a damn word.
They didn't have school that regular, did they?
No, I don't think so.
No. That is unfortunate because all these people that I have been talking to have their children have grown on to become professors and so on, so the intelligence was there.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them, lovely enough, catch on to anything pretty quick, and some of them was just the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. The Corbins never bothered to go to school, did they?
I don't think so.
Is it true that the Corbins, you could tell them by their eyes, that they all had a cast to their eye?
Oh, some did, some didn't.
Some didn't, huh? Well, what else can you think of about these people? Because I'm asking the questions and you're the ones that know, so. How did they dress?
Well, I imagine like all other mountain people.
All right, that's how.
What they had, they didn't get too many different changes.
No, overalls or something like that, an overall jacket. You never seen none of them much dressed up in suits and like that.
No. Were they handmade clothes mostly?
Well, I imagine it was way back.
No.
There wasn't many of them that bought even homes and all clothes in the meantime. Not even around the section yet. And most of them were makeup clothes way back then. I was a kid.
Did any of you know Noah Nicholson?
Know who?
Noah Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Know his daddy.
What was he like?
Well, about like Noah, I reckon, years I could say. I remember one time, after that drive,
they had part of that too. They hadn't moved him over to come down here, and I had a cow. And he had one, he wanted to shut up. So me and him got on a cow trade. And I take mine up and got the one that I traded him for. Now, well, as I can remember, I went out to drive.
And we don't know.
Yeah. That is back up there when he lived back up down on the mountain.
Where did he live in Nicholson Hollow?
Yeah, well, as I remember, way back on the middle to the drive. Wasn't too far down the drive, was it, Johnny?
Well, no, and then they live around on that Robinson side, like you're going Skyland.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Round to the right of the Nicholson Hollow, was it?
No, it's on the left.
On the left.
See, when you get up on the top, you know. You went right through the mountain
thing
on the
time.
Was he a fairly honorable man?
Well, who do you mean, know him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what to answer. He's somebody that lived on the welfare, years I can say, ever since.
He lives right down the road here.
I know he does. I know he does. The reason I'm asking is I do know that he had been one of those that set the fires in the park after the park took over so he could get money to put the fires out.
Yeah, him and they always claimed that him and a Colby boy used to be right much on the end of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Herbs. Did you ever hear any of them talking about any use of herbs for sicknesses or anything of that kind?
I don't know as it did. I don't
remember. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear that? Sounds horrible. If you had a sore throat, take some kerosene and sugar.
Well, I believe I have heard them talk.
Sounds as though they were trying to commit suicide.
Yeah. I don't know if I haven't taken a little of that myself when I was small. Take a little sugar, a spoonful of sugar, and pour a few drops of kerosene on it.
Did it help?
Oh, it's been so long, I just don't remember.
Yeah.
It seemed like to me when I was small that I had sore throats bad one time, and they'd give me a little sugar and put some kerosene. I won't say for certain that that's right.
Yeah.
It seemed like me.
Did they have any superstitions?
Some of them did, right much.
They did what?
How much stay around where you're at?
You mean they wouldn't tell you what their superstitions were? Why is it that they were so quiet and secretive?
I suppose they're sort of like we are, Reagan. They didn't have too much education. They didn't know how to bring anything out and tell it like it should be, probably.
Oh. I wish we knew some of those superstitions. You never heard a single one from them?
No. I don't think so.
By their reactions, could you tell?
No. Some of them you couldn't tell how they're going to act.
How they told about the weather. Did they have any signs about the weather?
Most all of
them. Well, what were they?
Certain signs that they had of weather, like I'm at.
Whether the moon was up, whether it was down.
Uh-huh. Yes, did they have that idea that you don't plant potatoes at a certain time with the moon and stuff of that kind?
They didn't only have it on some old people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And I'm wondering if a lot of these people picked up some things from the Indians. Because there were some Indians still up there, weren't there? I think they either married enough so that they disappeared.
I tell you about time he come on up in now. The color of the Indian could not come up here. Now I tell you that, he's gonna get out of there quick. Yes. Oh, sir. Well, a stranger could not come up here now, but he better act mighty nice. Mighty nice.
Yeah,
if he didn't act mighty nice, he wouldn't get by in there with the mill, I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, they were highly suspicious of all strangers,
yeah,
weren't they?
I wasn't into any of that stuff myself. Mm-hmm. I know plenty of it was. If a colored fella come up in now, even with a drum or a grocery truck, something like that, he had to get out with me now and get out quick. They had run on out of our foot. I've seen plenty of them go out of our foot, come up on a truck or a buggy or something, and they'd get after him. He wasn't waking no drummer, he's leaving out of them. Some of them would tell me they run come back to cover, 20 miles. Yes.
Oh, boy.
I tell you, a colored person didn't have it.
I wonder why they had that feeling
I don't know, they just didn't like it.
Yeah.
Just didn't like it.
They knew something that we should have known a long while ago. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I wished everybody was out of the way now. They could run them off and get them separated from themselves.
I do, too. Gosh, yes. But they had, actually, when you think about it, not a bad existence, these mountain people. They were healthy.
Oh, yeah.
And were they jealous of their wives?
No, I don't think so.
Protective of them?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, before they left up in now, the most of them, I was just young and young. I had these puppy now, so I have business, I'm after those states, both the cave or something like that. I never got around up in our business, nothing like that.
Did you ever hear from any of them their reaction when they had to move out because of the park?
Well, not too much. Now, see, I believe it was 35 or 36. There's right many of them moved up here to Flint Hill. They started up in their old homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up by and worked for the government for a while, a few months, plowing and ordering the land, ordering the garden, plowing the gardens, and the lack of that. Of course, some of them people up in now, they maybe bought them up a couple old horses, and they didn't even know how to put the harness on the horse or hook them up with other nails.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know one fellow went up there once. Well, he's been out a little long, some of them. He went up and bought him a tractor. Old tractor, you know, old model T-Fold, I believe it was tractor. And whenever I was plowed up the field for a fella, I was flying back over on the other side. I'd been plowed up, I don't have any fields. Different ones there. And he didn't know much about it, he didn't have too much about it to plow. He made a terrible mess plowing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the boss man come over and wanted me to go over and plow that hole. I said, no. I ain't going over. I said, your mess is even paid out. What a great long skip for it, and yet the road wouldn't be a bit of dirt thrown over in the far at all. I said, that's nothing but a mess. I said, I wouldn't plow it. I said, I'll tell you what it will do. It'll help me. And I'll take a hard gold several times.
Wait a second. I've heard that before, and I think that that's a very fascinating thing, that they did not like them. Now, the Indians and the people themselves then used stars and the moon for their plantings. That's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's a whole lot in signs to plant by.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did pay no attention to them much, but I believe it's very smart to
them. Yeah. Did they ever take time out to look around and say, gee, this is a beautiful country that I'm in, these mountains are lovely?
I don't think some of them ever come out of the mountains until they were grown.
Yeah.
Like them.
Mm-hmm. They must have been very strong people to walk up and down those mountains the way they did.
I've seen them people come down to the mill pole now and put a bushel and a half of meal on the back, walk on up by and meet somebody and stand and talk for half hour, never lay it down, and ready to go in and crack the head of the holler with it that away.
Sure.
Well, most of them just strong as mules.
Yeah.
Them people up here.
Yeah. That does take strength. Would you say that the majority, well, I guess we're going to have to leave the Corbin Hollow out. Maybe some of them in Corbin Hollow. But they were honest people.
Well, most of them I reckon you would say when John or not. More about them than I do. I would say that most of them was pretty honest.
Did they think anything of what if a person stole and things? Did they ever do anything like that?
Well, now and then you'd strike somebody maybe take a little something that didn't belong to them, but not too much. Well, back in them times, you'd go 12 months and wouldn't be much stealing till now in a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
When they stole something, them, they caught them, they know something about it. Now, they don't do a darn thing, but just run the officers all over the county, everyone spending taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
Throwing it away and catching them, judge the Commonwealth turning them loose, sending them all back home.
Sure.
That's just the way it goes now around here.
How about plowing? Did they plow very much?
They didn't have much to plow.
Yeah.
They just had a little one horse plow, maybe, one horse.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that they planted corn using stones like they would plant a kernel of corn right next to a stone, and that they said you could just see the corn grow because of the heat retained by the stone and the moisture.
Many favorite places were nothing else planted by.
Most all stones.
Did any of them ever mention anything about that they were glad Skyland was there because it gave them some extra money?
Well, I expect they got a whole lot of money out of Skyland.
Yeah.
Because it used to, a lot of them people work up there, you know, and politics up there, and building up there, and a lot of them people work up there.
Did either of you ever go up to Skyland to enjoy any of those parties at Pollock's?
I have.
You did?
I never did.
What ones would you go to? What were you there for?
I have been about to dances up there.
You did?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, they tell me you can still cut the ring.
They had a dance hall.
Were you there at any of those Indian powwows that he had using the mountain people? Were you there for that disastrous one where they all got fighting each other?
Well, I've seen fights up there, but I don't remember why they was having a party.
Uh-huh. Well, tell about some of the fights.
A long time ago, but not say anything more about it.
Oh, come on! Statue of limitations is beyond us. What are some of these stories Pete Estes keeps telling about that you can tell? You're just not going to talk? You know, actually, they will tell me.
What's this? You know, lived up in Nichols Hollow. He killed two or three of the plane.
Really? Yeah. Why? Just didn't like them.
Just get out, you know, and get the drinking and get fussing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice. I'm sorry, I have to go.
Don't hurry, John.
No, I gotta go.
That was there in Nether's Mill.
No.
No, that was here.
Yeah, that.
Okay.
I used to sell some of them people back up in our race, my stuff when I first come over here.
All right. How would they get to your store here?
Well, probably walk over, or sometime maybe catch a ride and ride over, and maybe if they'd buy a race much bunch of stuff, I'd carry it up in that trunk.
You'd take it like to the bottom. Any of those Indian powwows that he had using the mountain people? Were you there for that disastrous one where they all got fighting each other?
Well, I've seen fights up there, but I don't remember why they was having a party.
Uh-huh. Well, tell about some of the fights.
A long time ago, but not say anything more about it.
Oh, come on! Statue of limitations is beyond us. What are some of these stories Pete Estes keeps telling about that you can tell? You're just not going to talk? You know, actually, they will tell me.
You know, lived up the Nichols Hollow, he killed two or three of the claim.
Really? Yeah. Why? Just didn't like them.
Just get out, you know, and get to drinking and get fussing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm sorry,
I gotta go.
Somewhere, John.
No,
I
gotta go.
That was there in Nether's Mill.
No.
No, that was here.
Yeah, that.
Okay.
I used to sell some of them people back up in IRA's my stuff when I first come over here.
All right. How would they get to your store here?
Well, probably walk over, or sometime maybe catch a ride and ride over, and maybe if they'd buy a race much bunch of stuff, I'd carry it up in that trunk and pick up.
You'd take it like to the bottom? Surprising that they didn't have their own beans.
Well, they did, a lot of them, you see, but sometimes maybe they'd fail you and wouldn't have a crop, you know, why some of them would come over and buy some. Well, yeah, you take some of them. They used to stack the, what we call the soup beans, whole beans. They just have them things by the barrel for them. And I know somebody, I forget who it was, said I heard him tell it. Went up in that one time, wanted to buy some beans, and one of the Nichols, and said, well, said he didn't have, but I believe it is two barrels full or three barrels full. I forget what he said it was now. Said he'd keep them, said, in case of sickness.
Ah.
Might have just told me.
Yeah. There was a regular mill there, Nether's Mill, wasn't there?
Yeah, just ground stuff like rye or corn for feed and bread meal. He didn't make no flour.
Do you know if he, if the people paid him to do it, or would they give him 10%?
Well, now, some of them would. I'd run the mill myself a lot for them. And ground a lot of stuff on out of that. Some of them would want to pay for it, and some of them would just let you take always taking a gallon, like in a shell corn, you take a gallon, you have a little gallon measure, take that full out of a bushel of grind. That's the way
If they paid for it, have you any idea how they got the money?
Well, probably they worked up on the stone man or something like that, you know. Maybe sold a calf or cow or something like that now and then, you know, got a few dollars. But Lord, you take in, you take back in that time, a dollar would go as far as 20 would now.
Sure, right.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Did they wear shoes?
Some of them, I've seen practically grown men out of that barefoot.
Yeah.
Women and all.
Yeah. They didn't seem to be much bothered by snakes, did they? And yet there were snakes all
in. Snakes all in, but just, I reckon they just had their regular pals that they travel, you know, and just watch for them again.
Yeah. Well, they're a very unusual kind of people. It's too bad that so many of them have gone. It would be simply great to get their story too, but they've gone.
Yeah, I tell you, one time there's a lot of people back in that mountain.
Right. Yeah. 475 families actually altogether. 475.
You mean a good many of them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I have some maps here.
I think that is so cute.
He was raised, he was born that day.